Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the place where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today is Monday, April the 3rd. It's the first Monday. It's the first show of April, and it's also one of the first days of spring. I think spring started maybe a week or so ago, so I hope you have sunshine in wherever you are. We've got some clouds here, but we had a great weekend, so I guess I can't complain too much. And to top it all off, I got to prepare over the weekend for an interview with a fantastic woman who is also an author and a mom and a bunch of other things on a long list that we probably won't be able to get to today because this book is so fascinating. I'd like to welcome to the show Leslie Morgan Steiner. She is the editor of the newly released book, Mommy Wars: Stay-at-Home and Career Moms Face Off on Their Choices, Their Lives, and Their Families. And Leslie is a seasoned journalist. She's an executive at the Washington Post, and she has collected anthologies from women around the country who are dealing with what she says is the mommy war. So welcome to the show, Leslie.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I'm just delighted, and I'm holding your book here in my hand, and I hardly know where to start. But I guess let's just start, because there's so much to talk about. Let's just maybe start at the beginning. The name of the book is called Mommy Wars, and I'm a mother. I've been a mother for 4 short years or 4 long years, depending on how you look at it. And the first time I heard that term, Leslie, my first child was 8 weeks old, and I had no idea what people could possibly be talking about. I thought, well, how could anybody war with a mommy? So can you take me back to the genesis of the book and tell me where this title came from?
Well, I totally agree with you. I think when you're, before you become a mom and in the early months or years of motherhood, it's hard to understand how something so wonderful could kind of turn women against each other and against themselves. The reason that I think the title is a very apt title is that the worst mommy war that all of us fight are the ones inside our own heads. That dialogue that seems to be endless about, are we a good mom, and have we made the right decisions in terms of balancing work and family? Mm-hmm. And have other moms made better decisions, and are they better moms than we are?
Mm. And do you know, by the way, where that term came from? Do you happen to know who
coined it? No, I think it's been in the American lexicon for a very long time, for probably 15 or 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's become a really generic term for the tension between working and stay-at-home moms.
Well, it's funny how something can be that old and someone as smart as I think I am didn't know about it.
Well, that's because it really doesn't become real to you until you become a mom yourself.
Yeah, I probably just never paid attention, and of course, I have so much more to learn about being a mom. But, you know, one of the things that's so striking about this book, and I'll just tell you, the Lifestyle CEO Show is all about helping moms deal with some of the issues that are addressed in your book from the perspective of moms who want to work, but they want to work sort of in a more flexible environment on their own terms, and the listeners to this show mostly have their own businesses that they work from home. So these kinds of issues are really, really important to them, and they deal with mothers on both sides of what you're describing, women in the traditional workforce as well as women who are whatever a stay-at-home mom is. I still haven't figured out exactly what that means. if you're at home, you're probably usually in your van. But you know, let's talk a little bit about that war, and you termed it as the struggle with others as well as a struggle within ourselves.
Yes.
Why do you think that happened when all we're trying to do is just raise good kids?
Right. And, you know, motherhood is such a powerful and primal force. You would think that it would unite women instead of dividing them. But sometimes it really can divide women because our society is so conflicted about the very real need that moms have to provide for ourselves and our families, and this, you know, idolized image of a mother who sacrifices everything mm-hmm. for her kids.
Yeah.
And when you start to really look for these messages in our society, they are everywhere. They're on television, they're in the newspapers and magazines, politicians talk about it. Everybody sort of has their own idea of what a mother should be.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the images tend to be very unrealistic, and they directly conflict with providing for yourself and working, especially working in a job that requires you to leave your house. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know that you know this. I'm sure you've talked about this a lot on your show, that women entrepreneurs are the fastest growing segment of entrepreneurs in America. And I see that a lot of it is because women who are moms get really fed up with trying to fit into a male model of employment in this country.
You know, that is so true. I think that they are starting business at twice the speed of the national average. Women are, and I think a growing number of them are moms. I can't wait for someone to fund a study on that because I'm very interested to find that out.
It would be fascinating. I think that what I've seen is that, and what I see of the moms who've written in the book is that women have a lot of energy to give to their work and their jobs, but they don't necessarily have it between the standard work hours that many companies require.
Mm-hmm.
So women want to achieve money earn money and achieve things, and sometimes they absolutely have to.
Right.
And so they're turning to entrepreneurship as a way to do that on their own terms.
Right. Now, Leslie, you have 3 kids, right?
Yes.
And you are also, you're doing a variety of different things, and I'm sure we just scratched the surface here. I mean, obviously, if you're a mom, you're also married, you have a lot of things going on. You're an executive at the Washington Post, which, of course, is a nationally known publication in one of the biggest and most important, quote-unquote, cities in the world. And you also found the time to write this book.
Now, yes, I have to confess that I was really, in some ways, driven to write the book because I was so curious about what other moms were doing
mm-hmm.
and how they were balancing these issues and what their own inner mommy war was all about. And I was particularly curious about stay-at-home moms because they had made such a different decision than I had.
Mm-hmm.
And the subject has become somewhat of a taboo subject among women with a bona fide economic choice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I couldn't get them to talk about it.
Why do you think that society or whoever it is thinks there needs to be a title? In other words, it's like you're a stay-at-home mom or you're a working mom. All moms are at home sometimes and working sometimes, whether you're, you know, going to the pediatrician, that's work. Up all night breastfeeding, that's work.
Right.
I mean, it's maybe a different kind of work. But those terms, do you think that they, in part, contribute to the frustration and the difficulty that some women have, you know, categorizing themselves, so to speak?
Yes. I think that all of the labels on mothers today, full-time mom, working mom, stay-at-home mom, they're all bad. None of them really capture in a positive way what moms are trying to do. But I think that our society really needs to categorize moms, and I don't fully understand why. But clearly we do, because there's a really strong desire to put women in categories. And the categories don't fit at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the first things I found in writing Mommy Wars, is that today's working mom might be tomorrow's stay-at-home mom and vice versa. And a mom who is at home with her kids right now might consider herself a working mom who's temporarily at home,
mm-hmm.
whereas somebody else might classify her as a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's so true.
It makes it so complicated. And, human beings don't fit into nice, neat categories. And I don't fully understand why our society so desperately needs to put women in these boxes.
Mm. Well, hopefully we can, by this dialogue and by your book, do something to help be a catalyst for positive change in that regard. You know, Leslie, one of the things that struck me as really, really wonderful about your book is the sheer honesty that the women who told you their stories displayed.
That was critical to me, and I'm glad that you noticed that and liked it. I think there's a feeling of unvarnished truth the women's essays.
Yes, and thank you so much for choosing them. I'm sure you had lots of choices, and you narrowed it down here very nicely. Most of the women either have had a full-time career. Are all of them college-educated?
Yes, all of them are college-educated.
Okay. So look, I wanted to mention that because I'm going to give some brief descriptions of some of the things that they talk about, and I want to use this as a springboard for our discussion. One woman shared a point in time when her daughter was having an especially difficult time, I think, in her freshman year of college. They were in therapy for this mom's first time. She didn't know what therapy was. For all of her life, she was in therapy with her daughter. And she says to the counselor that her daughter's a whack job.
Yes.
And the therapist looked at her, narrowed her eyes, and this mother immediately heard with her ears what the therapist was saying with her eyes. This mother interpreted that as, you're a bad mother. And then there's another woman who talked about taking antidepressants shortly after she became a mom. And there's a story in there by someone who wrote about how she hated everyone and she hated her husband. So I mention that only because, and I'm just going to put it out there, I have felt all of those things as a mother, and I think that anyone who feels bad if they have should stop right now.
Right. Because, you know, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that one of the things that makes moms, all moms, feel like we're not doing a good enough job is that people don't talk enough about the really hard parts of motherhood, the anger, the depression, the frustration, the uncertainty, the guilt. You know, I don't know if it's that we don't want to scare people who don't have kids yet or if it's that men don't want to hear how hard motherhood is, but I found it very liberating and freeing to talk to other women about the challenges of motherhood. And it was a requirement for anybody who wanted to write an essay for the book is that they were going to tell the whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I wanted to hear the wonderful parts, too. And every mom in this book really loves her kids and loves being a mother mm-hmm. and wouldn't trade it for anything.
And there are so many wonderful parts about it. And those are shared, too, by the way. I don't
right.
want anyone to think it's all just a bunch of people whining or complaining or talking about their problems. But I do want listeners to know that one of the significant values of this book is that if you are a mother and you are feeling out of sorts or like you are nuts or unusual or somehow unqualified for what you're about to do, get this book and just pick a story, any story, doesn't matter which one, and read it. And you will be able to, I think it really, it's like therapy to help break out of that cycle. We're going to take our first break, Leslie, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about what it is that drove you to write The Mommy Wars. We're going to talk a little bit more about some of the individual stories. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're here today with author Leslie Morgan Steiner. Her new book, Mommy Wars, Stay-at-Home and Career Moms Face Off on Their Choices, Their Lives, and Their Families. And I want to invite you to join this very important discussion today. You can do that toll-free at 800-773-0355 to call your question or comment in to Leslie. Leslie, before we took our break, we were talking about these labels and how potentially destructive they are. Are you a stay-at-home mom? Are you a working mom? What kind of mom are you? And it occurred to me that you've got an interesting background in terms of your progression, you know, from college into the work world. Tell us a little bit about that so we can kind of get an idea of who it is that put all this information together for us.
Well, I was an English major in college. I graduated in 1987, and my first job was as an editor at 17 Magazine in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Great job, lots of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved it, but for reasons I couldn't understand, I was really interested in business. And so after a couple of years as a writer and editor in New York, I hustled off to Wharton Business School
mm-hmm.
and got an MBA in marketing.
Okay.
And then I ended up spending about 10 years working for Johnson & Johnson, the big healthcare company.
Sure.
Launching a wonderful product called Splenda brand sweetener around the world.
Got some of that right here.
Yep, it's the number one sweetener in the United States today. It's,
uh-huh.
it's a great product. And I traveled the world. It was before I had kids. And then I got married and started having kids and didn't want to travel as much and started working part-time for Johnson & Johnson. And then I joined the Washington Post about 5 years ago. Washington is my hometown, and I wanted to raise my kids here, and I convinced my husband to give it a shot, and we moved here. And since then, I've been working in the advertising department of the Washington Post.
And you've worked part-time and full-time off and on?
Yes, I have. And I also, for 6 months, I didn't work at all, which was a very hard time for me. You know, so I've always had trouble with all of the labels that people try to put on people, because my own experience shows that you could label me one day, but then I'm going to be something different the next day. And I think that's true for most women.
Well, and then, you know, let's just throw off those labels to some extent now. And what you've just described for anyone who was sort of listening to hear how they can remove themselves from these kinds of labels is you've just described the harnessing of all of your educational background and personal experiences to create the kind of lifestyle that you enjoy. Sometimes you don't want to work outside the home, sometimes you do. And you seem to have been able to, and now with a book, is this your first book?
Yes, I've written for many years since I was in college, but this is the first time that I've put together a whole book.
And it's very exciting to contemplate the possibilities that will come your way even now. And so for everyone, for all you lifestyle CEOs out there, Leslie's a living, walking example of, you know, taking a look at what you have to offer, putting it together to create something that allows you to do what you feel you need to do as a mom and also do some things for yourself. And in your book, a lot of women talked about that struggle between, if I'm doing something for myself, am I by definition not doing something for my children? What have you found from the people that you interviewed? Where did that come from?
Well, one of my favorite contributors in the book is a woman named Catherine Clifford, whose essay is called Mother Superior. And she's writing very frankly about the fact that she thinks she is a better mom because she is a stay-at-home mother, and that her children are the center of her universe, and that she isn't even a part of that universe. And she's very smart and a wonderful writer, and I love to read her essay and reread it and also to talk to her about these issues because I disagree with her. I think it's right for her, but it's not right for me. I still need to be a really huge part of my own life, or I won't be a happy mom, and I won't be a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Catherine's viewpoint is completely valid and applies to a lot of women, but I think that my viewpoint applies to a lot of women, too, that if we gave up everything we wanted, we wouldn't be good moms. And also that there's a very real issue that I need to have my own economic independence for my own sake and also to provide for my family, my children, and my extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And that matters a lot to me. And there's no way I could be happy if I didn't have that as part of my life.
Yeah, well, in our society and in the economy that we're in today, to some extent what you're describing could be just, you know, smart thinking. I mean, Social Security, who knows where that's going to be when our kids are grown, and job security, what on earth was that,
right.
if it ever existed?
Right.
So what you're describing is what a lot of people are facing. Was your mom working outside the home, Leslie?
Well, my mom was a stay-at-home mother for about 10 or 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
My mom went to Radcliffe College. She's one of the smartest women I've ever met. And she was a very active stay-at-home mom. She started an after-school program at our school. She took a home for unwed mothers here in Washington, D.C., and turned it into a daycare center.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a really involved volunteer. But she was a very unhappy stay-at-home mom from my perspective.
Okay.
And she went back and got an advanced teaching degree and then started teaching kids with autism when I was a teenager. And she really loved her work. And I think that she was much happier then. So she was really one of my role models in terms of what I didn't want and what I did want.
Mm-hmm. And so you sound very, very definitive about your choices. And a lot of women, many of the ones in your book, didn't start out that way and never seemed to be able to find that. How do you juggle all the things you do, Leslie?
Well, I think that I have a lot of energy, which is good and it's bad. I think it has allowed me to multitask and raise kids and work and write a book and do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just the way that I am. And I've always been this way, and I've always loved work. I've worked at part-time jobs since I was 11. Mm-hmm. And I would not be myself if I didn't work. So I think that I'm driven to work, and I also really love kids, and I'm driven to be a very involved mom.
Well, it sounds like you have reached your level of satisfaction with who you are and what it is that you're doing. And I hope that this book, and I hope that in some small way this show, too, can help other women do that, to acknowledge what it is that you are and how you feel you were designed to tick the best, and then implement that. And I applaud you for that, because a lot of people don't find it, and I'm glad that you're out there to help women discover that, whatever their particular choice is, that if it works for them, then that's okay, and we
right.
should support that and applaud it. Now, Leslie, where do you think daddies fit in here? And you know, it occurred to me as I was reading the book, I was like, now, why isn't this called the Family Wars?
Well, I think every mom out there listening knows why it's called the Mommy Wars.
Uh-huh. Tell me about that.
You know, dads, in my experience, dads don't experience this conflict. It's not to say that they couldn't write their own book about their own issues becoming parents, but they are not as torn between raising their kids and providing for themselves, because it's just much more expected that they are going to keep working.
Mm-hmm.
And they expect that, and their employers expect that, and their families expect that in general.
Did you run across any people in your interviews, any women whose husbands had decided, or as a family unit, the two of them, after they had children, had decided that mom would stay in the traditional workforce and dad would not?
Well, in the book there are a few people who have, you know, sort of not traditional arrangements. The Sandy Hingston, who wrote Neither Here Nor There, her husband is a musician, and so he is available during the day to be, you know, at the kids' schools and taking them to pediatricians'
mm-hmm.
appointments and that kind of thing.
Okay.
And there are a few other moms who are like that, whose husbands have flexible jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, I write a blog now for WashingtonPost.com about working parenthood. It's called On Balance.
Mm-hmm.
And through the blog, I have heard from a lot of dads who are stay-at-home dads or on the daddy track. You know, they've taken lower stress, lower commitment jobs in order to be much more involved in their family's lives. And I think this is a new trend that did not exist 30 years ago when I was a kid. And I think dads today are much more involved in their children's lives than they used to be, and that we're going to continue to see that in the next generation.
Do you think that's part of the overall solution, is to, no matter what kind of involvement it is, I don't necessarily mean exiting the traditional workforce and coming home for a certain amount of time and having that be the priority day to day, but do you think that that overall, I guess it's really a mindset change or a societal change, is going to make a difference and maybe change it from the mommy wars to just, I don't know, the family options or something like that?
I think it is. There's a lot of evidence that that is where a lot of our society is heading. The dads are much more involved in general. And I think that it will lead to some solutions, and I'm sure it will create its own set of problems, too. But I think that it, in general, is a good thing for women and for men and for kids.
Mm-hmm.
To have dads much more involved in their children's lives.
Mm-hmm. And what kinds of problems do you foresee from based on your conversations with the people that are kind of moving in that direction?
Well, I think, you know, there's a simplicity to the model of having the man get up and go to the office or to a factory or wherever he works every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman staying home, taking care of everything on the home front. It's a very neat division of labor.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And,
I see what you're saying.
You know, I it's not what would work for me, and it makes me, I could never do it. But I do know moms and families that are very happy with it that way. It's just, it has its appeals because it's very cut and dried.
Mm-hmm.
The solution of having men and women sort of equally share childcare and sick days, et cetera, creates more problems, I think, for employers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because then dads have to leave for sick days and for doctor's appointments and for conferences at school. And I think there are just ways, I think that it'll be worked out. I don't think it's a huge problem, but I think it's something that our society is kind of slowly, gradually accepting and coming to grips with.
Oh.
You know, even just a few years ago, men didn't take paternity leave in general, and I see more and more men taking paternity leave.
Oh, I remember what a big deal that was when
right.
I guess in high school, I remember what happened to be dating this guy who said, you know, he would never do that. And I remember thinking, well, you scratched off my list. Possibilities. I couldn't imagine someone actually, I guess I should say, admitting to that, that they would never want to do that. I found that fascinating. We're going to talk with you a little bit more about some other things. So I want to ask you, do you know from or have you concluded from the women that you talk to, the many women that you talk to, what are some of the secrets to being successful as a mom who also has some kind of career, whether it's a business or a career outside the home? What are some of the secrets that they apply to make it work?
Well, one of the Mommy Wars contributors wrote a great essay called I Do Know How She Does It, which is all about how she is a working mom who is very good at her job and very involved in her kids' lives. And she has an MBA degree, and she works in the entertainment industry. She's been the CFO of a couple of different organizations. So she's very successful in terms of her work. And her theory is that you have to divide your household and child care responsibilities into buckets. The first bucket being things that you have to do, that you really want to do and have to do. And for her, it's attending her son's first soccer game of the season, you know, being at her daughter's first ballet recital, those kind of things that she would just really never want to miss. And then the second bucket are the things that she can delegate, either to her husband or another family member. And then the third bucket are things that she can delegate to hired help, whether it's a babysitter or a grocery delivery service or somebody like that.
Those are fascinating. And we're going to come back and delve into those a little bit more when we come back. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show, and we will be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Lifestyle CEO Show. We're talking with Leslie Morgan Steiner, who just authored a book called The Mommy Wars, and one of the contributors to the book shared what she thinks is kind of a secret to making life and business and motherhood and stuff work out, and it's three buckets. Leslie, can you review those for us again and then talk about them in a little detail?
Yep, the three buckets, and this is a very useful theory for not only working moms but stay-at-home moms, is that the first bucket is things that you must do for your kids or your family. That, you know, we all have our own individual list. For me, it's that I really feel like I like to pick my kids up from school.
Mm-hmm.
The second bucket is things that your husband or other family members could do,
mm-hmm.
That you can sort of take turns doing. And then third are the things that you can delegate to other people, whether it's a babysitter or a grocery delivery service or something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a very practical approach, and it takes away the guilt of feeling like you have to do everything yourself.
It also helps you drop some stuff off the list.
Right, and also to see how it's helpful to let other people do things. For instance, Anne Sarnoff, the woman who wrote the essay about this theory in Mommy Wars, says that one thing that she lets her kids do, what she delegates to her kids, is that they need to buy birthday presents for their friends when they get invited to a party.
Mm-hmm.
And she gives the babysitter money, and the babysitter takes the kids to a toy store. And I know that there are some moms who feel like buying presents is something they must do themselves because they have to get the perfect present. But Anne's kids, it teaches them to be thoughtful of other people and to think about what other people would like. And it's also sort of like a mini lesson in handling money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very good for kids to do that. And I my own example is that I, on the book tour for Mommy Wars, I had to leave, you know, my household for over a week, which I had never done since my kids had been born, and I had to let my husband and our babysitter figure everything out. And it was so great. It was liberating for me, and also it gave them a lot of freedom to make their own mistakes and do it their way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's good all around. I think that we moms in particular have become perfectionists in a way that is not healthy for anybody.
Why do you think it's such a struggle from the moms you talk to? Why is it such a struggle to delegate?
Well, I mean, we
are trained to some extent to do that in an office work environment. It may not be called that, but there's lots of people and everybody has a job to do. And if you need some help, you call up your boss and say you need some help, and then they find somebody to help you.
Well, I think that women are not taught to delegate very well, even in the business world. I think men are really good at it, and for some reason women feel like they've got to do it all themselves. And I know a lot of very high-powered businesswomen who still feel like they must do their own grocery shopping, that it is, they would be a bad mom if they didn't pick out, you know, the apples by themselves for their families.
Mm-hmm.
I just think there's something about being female that makes us feel like it's part of providing for our families and our children is doing everything ourselves. And for some people, it might be really a kind of perfectionism that they think that nobody can grocery shop as well as they can. But even for women who admit that other people could do it well, they have a hard time letting go. And I think it's really critical. It's another thing that Anne Sarnoff writes about in her essay, is that you have to be able to delegate, and you have to let other people help you, not just at work, but at home, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Leslie, one of the consistent themes in the book, and not every mom wrote about this, but quite a few did, wrote about the struggle to sort of help their husbands, or make their husbands in some instances, understand what it is that they're going through as mothers. And one woman I remember wrote, I can't remember the name, I'm sure you remember when I tell the story, she was called to another state because of a freelance production or entertainment type job that she had, and she was literally hanging up the phone and starting to pack her bag, and I think their first child at this time, they only had one, was 6 or 8 months old, and the husband asked her, what would you do, you know, if some emergency happened? And the wife answered, well, I would dial 911. What would you do? And the husband's response was, I would blame you forever.
Right. Yep, that essay is by a woman in California named Leslie Lair, and the essay is called I Hate Everybody. And she writes about that scene was when she started hating her husband, because he guilt-tripped her and made her feel that although he could go off to work every day, she could not. And she ended up canceling that job. She backed out of that job,
mm-hmm.
And always regretted it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is really hard for men to understand what their wives are going through. Although, again, I see that younger generation of men who are in their 20s and 30s, early 30s, seem to have an easier time accepting this. And also, fathers who have grown daughters, I find, really understand the mommy wars,
mm-hmm.
and the issues facing women.
Mm-hmm.
But I think until you really can get a man to see what you're going through, it's really hard for them to be sympathetic, because it's not something they saw growing up and not something that they necessarily thought very much about.
Right. Her daddy would see it from a different perspective since it's her life.
Exactly. Right. They have a lot more sympathy for their daughters than they might for their wives.
How do you think we can help, or are there any examples in your book of women who have discovered ways to help their partners understand? And because I'm wondering, not to say that the woman in California made the wrong decision at all, I do see myself and other people make that decision, well, you know what, I guess I better not do that then.
Right.
And does that to some extent help to perpetuate their response?
Well, I think that it does. And I think,
because if we always say, okay, well then, gee, I better not go, then it seems to me that would solidify in that other person's mind, oh, well, that worked.
Right. I think that's really true. And I think that when we're faced with key decisions like that, we really have to think about the long-term consequences,
mm-hmm.
and not be overly emotional about it, and also not let guilt get in the way, because I think guilt can really cloud our judgment tremendously. And
yeah, I feel for her. I mean, I really
right.
do, because, I mean, of course you would expect, you know, maybe someone who wasn't the child's parent to say something like that, but not not the person who's, you know, 50% or 100%, depending on the time of day, responsible for that child.
And she does go on to say that the reason that she canceled the job is that she realized that, you know, it, whether he would forgive her or not,
mm-hmm.
didn't matter so much, that she would never forgive herself if something terrible happened to her child while she was away.
And she would have been away, like, biting her nails the whole time.
Right, and I think a lot of moms stay home with their kids because of that, because
uh-huh.
their maternal instinct is so powerful
mm-hmm.
that they really can't let anybody take care of their kids, especially when the kids are so young and vulnerable, as Leslie's daughter was. I think her daughter was 6 months at the time.
Right, right.
And the fact that we don't have very good child care, and we don't have abundant child care in this country, and it's not very highly regulated, makes it really hard. And we also, you know, we always hear these horror stories about what happens to children when they're in other people's care, and it makes moms feel very afraid about leaving their kids.
Yeah,
and so that is a big part of the problem. And I think, you know, part of the solution is getting better child care, and also, you know, in our, not in our angry moments, because that's not going to work, but in our most calm moments, trying to get our husbands and the other men in our lives, including our sons,
mm-hmm.
to see how hard it is when society heaps so much guilt and responsibility on women.
Mm-hmm. And we talked a little bit about this earlier, too, about part of the solution being, you know, what the various different solutions are. It's interesting that many of the moms in your book were freelancers of some type. In other words, like the mom we were just talking about, when she was asked to come out to do a job, it wasn't something she absolutely 100% had to do, or the consequence was she would get the axe and never get another job, so to speak, again with that company, whoever it was. So when we come back, we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, Leslie, I want to talk with you about your impressions of how those moms who have those kinds of arrangements, where it's not like 100% full-time do-or-die job, it's something that they can do. There's freelance writers that you interviewed, and also a lot of people in the entertainment industry. When we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about that, and if that's what you think part of the solution might or might not be. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. Our toll-free listener line is 800-773-0355. You can give us a call with your question or comment to Leslie. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. Welcome back. We're talking with Leslie Morgan Steiner today, the editor of the Mommy Wars, Stay at Home and Career Moms Face Off on Their Choices, Their Lives, and Their Families. And even though we're talking about stay-at-home moms and moms that in large part have a traditional, quote-unquote, 9-to-5 or whatever hours it may be job, there's a lot of people in Leslie's book that wrote stories about their lives from the perspective of a freelancer. There are some freelance writers, and there are people in there that have contract jobs. Leslie, how did you find those women, and how are you seeing those kind of in-between areas? Like, they're not fully stay-at-home, and they're not fully working outside the home. How do you see those as answering some of the questions that we're talking about today?
Well, it was one of the early surprises for me of working on Mommy Wars was how many women fall into sort of that gray area between full-time work and full-time being at home in your house or your minivan with your kids.
Uh-huh.
The book turned out to be a third working moms, a third stay-at-home moms, and a third part-time people, because there were so many people who were freelance or entrepreneurs or, you know, moving in between positions. And I realized their stories were really representative of what a lot of women out there are doing. And freelance writers are, in many ways, entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
They do, you know, contract work that gives them a lot of flexibility in terms of the hours they work. And that's what I found that moms really wanted was flexibility. And although I happen to think flexibility is free for most companies to give, a lot of companies don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's priceless to working moms, so they should be giving it.
It is.
And I think that it just makes the balancing act a lot easier when you have flexibility. The happiest moms that I have seen have been the ones who have some degree of paid work and you know, quote unquote, enough time with their kids. And for every mom, that definition is different and it changes.
Mm-hmm.
And they work for companies and have partners who give them support and flexibility so that they can be good moms and good employees, even if they're just freelance workers.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's my advice to any woman out there who is unhappy with her balance, is look for more support and more flexibility at work and at home.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, with technology being what it is today, it really is easy to find. I remember in the last full-time, very demanding job that I had as an attorney, I remember asking in my interview, actually it was before I was hired, I wasn't married, I didn't have kids, so I guess they didn't see me as a threat, but in terms of not being there or wanting to figure out how to be flexible, but I just asked the question, you know, do you have options for people to work from home? And this was just six years ago, the answer was just a flat out no. No, we don't do that because our clients, our business partners want to come in and see all the offices filled. And I thought that was just so interesting. This was from the woman in the department who was interviewing me with three young children. And I was just fascinated. And I wonder if today, I mean, I keep up with you know, that industry because I was in it for so long, the legal field. And it's just interesting to see that that's changing.
Well, there was a segment on 60 Minutes last night, a show by Leslie Stahl called 24/7,
mm-hmm.
that was all about flexibility at the office. And one of the examples they had was Best Buy, a Minnesota-based company. And a division of Best Buy 5 years ago decided to give employees 100% flexibility, that they could work from any place that they wanted. They literally never had to come in the office if they didn't want to. And they had footage of the office in the middle of the day, and most of the offices were empty.
Wow.
And they found that productivity went up over 30%.
And they could, their real estate bill could go down.
Exactly, and their electricity bill.
Yeah.
And what they interviewed three employees who said uh-huh. that it worked for them too, and they weren't surprised that they were working more because now they are working 7 days a week, but are much happier and much healthier than they had been before. And they were, you know, it was just a great case study, and I hope that a lot of corporate America and government employers look at that and try to figure out ways that they can be more flexible. And interestingly, none of the three on the Best Buy segment were parents. So it just goes to show this is not just a mom issue, and it's not just a parent issue. It's an employee quality of life and productivity issue.
Yeah, and even larger than that, too, it's just a lifestyle issue.
Right.
The way society is changing, and with technology, we can do so many things differently and achieve the same result more efficiently.
And I'm glad that you brought up efficiency, because that was one of the points in the 60-minute study, too, is that even though Americans work more hours than anybody else in the world, we are number four in developed countries in terms of productivity by hour, because we end up wasting a lot of time. You know, a lot of the time in the office is FaceTime.
Mm-hmm.
And when you free people from that and they can really focus on results, they work smarter and more efficiently.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, and since what you said was that it wasn't all parents in there, a lot of the people weren't parents, that some of it is really just psychological. It's a feeling or the reality of having more control over who you are and how you spend your time to accomplish the goals that you set for yourself or that your employer has set for you. And when you're able to work in that kind of flexible environment, then you can be happier and therefore more productive.
It's true. And the head of the Best Buy division who was interviewed in the story said that ironically, by giving his employees trust, by trusting them,
mm-hmm.
they worked harder because they enjoyed having the trust and they took it really seriously.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I thought that fit with my experience as a working person and a working mom and as a manager. I, in my most recent position at the Post, I had about 15 people report into me, and mm-hmm. not all of them were parents. One was sang with a Washington opera, and so he needed to come in late.
Mm-hmm.
And another lived very far away, and so he wanted to work at home some days.
Mm-hmm.
And it had nothing to do with having kids. It just had mm-hmm. it had to do with having a life.
Yeah, well, you know, and working far away from your office, living in the D.C. area as you do, I mean, traffic is just, I mean, I wouldn't need any other reason to consider doing things differently other than that. I mean, it is just insane.
And I think so many people feel that way. And the most unhappy working moms I know are the ones who, in addition to everything else, have, you know, very long commutes in excess of an hour each way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they do it.
Well, and, you know, it's funny because I what you just described, I don't know how you do it. There's a lot of that in your book where where moms look at other moms' choices and they say to each other, I don't know how you do it. And sometimes it's taken as a positive, and other times it's perceived by the person hearing it as that they're doing something wrong.
Right. I know we moms are very sensitive. Both stay-at-home moms and working moms are, we sometimes hear insults when there aren't any insults.
When there aren't any. I'm talking to someone just 2 weeks ago, 5 children and a job working 30 hours a week, very flexible, but still required to put in 30 hours a week, and she does it because of the health insurance.
Uh-huh.
Her husband doesn't have it. And we were just chatting about what was going on in our lives, which we get to do like once a year now because we know these kids, we don't get to see each other anymore. And she said, you know, I was telling her, this show, The Lifestyle CEO Show, things are going, she said, I don't know how you do it. And I looked at her and I was like, wait a minute. You're the one. You know, and so it pointed out to me as I was talking to her, it's like, you know what? It could be different for both of us tomorrow. But the beauty of that conversation was that we both got to affirm each other's choices,
right.
where we were. And I love your book, because especially the afterword, because you address that and you talk about the importance of affirming those choices and allowing people to have the freedom, without our judgment, so to speak, of making those kinds of choices and making them real for their families, you know, day by day, almost moment by moment.
Right. It's true. And what I've seen is that the moms who are really happy and at peace with their own choices are far less judgmental of other moms.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that point where you are really at peace with your own choices, you see that everybody is struggling and we're all doing the best we can. And, you know, you don't need to judge another woman, because the truth is, mm-hmm. as long as you aren't hurting your children, I don't care whether you work or not or what your decisions are, because it's your right to raise your kids the way you want to, as it is my right to be the kind of mom I want to be.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I found so helpful too and so freeing is to say, you know what, after I've heard a mom talk about this and that and how crazy it is, you know, how can I help you?
Right. And you know, I used to, when I was a full-time working mom and I was very unresolved about these issues, when mom said that, I took it as an insult. That
really?
They thought that I needed help. And now, when moms say to me, how can I help you, I love it, and I let them help me. I let them pick up my kids or watch my kids or, you know, whether it's that I need to take a call for work or I need to go to an exercise class.
Uh-huh.
I love it that they can help me, and I love paying them back and doing the same thing for them.
And exchanging it. I mean, I'm in a babysitting swap and some other stuff. You know what just occurred to me as we were talking about the help thing, and this is kind of off the topic of your book, but I hope you'll chuckle with me because you're a mom. When I was pregnant with my first child, people would run from all the way, 100 feet away to help me open a door if I had like a suitcase or something.
Right.
And then I have my child. And, you know, I've got the still got stitches or whatever from the cesarean, and I've got this big old heavy Eddie Bauer thing that my husband and I thought was great, but it weighed a ton. And by the time we realized that, we like didn't have the money to buy another one. We already had one, we couldn't justify the expense. So I'm carrying this thing which by itself weighed like 15 pounds. And I remember this, you know, I was literally going because I wanted somebody to help me, and nobody came. And I remember, of course, maybe nobody was paying attention, and that's fine too, but I just do remember sort of having the feeling like when I was pregnant, I just had to stand there and look pregnant.
I know, you know, I think it gets at the heart of our country's contradiction that we worship motherhood. We tell women over and over again it's the most wonderful thing you could ever do in your life.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you actually have a baby, nobody wants to help you.
Yeah,
in fact,
some
of the only people who want to help you are other moms who have been there.
Yeah,
and we need each other.
Yeah, we really do. And I love, you know, in conclusion, the way your book concludes is after looking at all of these women's different stories, And seeing how, and I encourage you to read this book, whether you're a mom or not, whether you're a dad or not, maybe especially if you are a dad, because it points out so many things that if you haven't gone through it, you'll never know. And I guarantee if you get this book and read even just 2 or 3 of the stories, you will have an understanding of the decisions some people make, and we will all be able to appreciate the dynamics and the family decisions that are made in households across America every day. Leslie, I thank you for this book. For those of you who didn't catch the title, I'm going to tell you again. It's Mommy Wars, Stay at Home and Career Moms Face Off on Their Choices, Their Lives, Their Families. And Leslie, I congratulate you for summarizing it like that. There's so much more to this book than that. You can get it at LeslieMorgansteiner.com or, of course, at Amazon. You can visit WashingtonPost.com and visit Leslie's Balance blog and have a great time chatting it up with her there. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We've got some great shows coming up for you. I've also launched my Lifestyle CEO Book Club blog today. Go to LifestyleCEO.com and click on blog and chat with me about our book of the month. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. See you next week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.